we're ready.
She's okay. Always ready.
She said, she's on your own.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today we are still going to be in Romans 8.
Yeah.
And how about Clyde start us off with a word of prayer? You too.
Me?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for your presence with us. For Father, you gather with those that gather in your name, and we have gathered in your name.
Yes.
So we fulfill our part, and that automatically makes you do yours. So Lord, have your way in this class. Give us ears to hear what your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into. Be glorified, be magnified, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, when I used to do this, I would get all bent out of shape and carrying on. And then I'd start studying, and I'd get out the Strong's, and I'd do this. And it always made me nervous. And I realized that I was just leaning on myself and my understanding. And I had to come up with something hot and heavy, you know? And I just don't feel that way anymore. And when I feel that way, it is never from God anymore. It seems like I kind of know what we're going to talk about because we're in Romans, and we're probably going to start at 18. But lately, it just, all I want to do is talk about whatever the Lord puts on my heart. And the odd way that it happens is usually the night before, I'll start thinking about what we're going to talk about. And when I wake up in the morning, you know, the verse will be there and it'll be there. And I start thinking about something. And this morning, here's where I... We kind of, the thing that I was thinking about is, so now all the earth is groaning. And you know how we take that out of the Strong's. The earth is standing on tiptoes, you know, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God. And the thing that popped into my mind this morning is I was thinking about, remember when we were at war in the 40s, the war to end all wars. And after the war came this time, and this is where I was growing up. I was right at seventh, eighth grade, starting to grow up, and the world seemed like a wonderful place to live. It was a time of prosperity, and it was a time of increasing technology. And you remember, like, these are the things that I remember for, and it was probably from that wonderful new invention television that showed us all the women showing off their Whirlpool washers and their dryers, and they were all wearing skirts and high heels and mopping, and their hair was always looking good. And every Sunday morning, all the family was getting dressed and ready and hair combed and everything, hopping in their car and going to church. It was a wonderful time of life. And that's the way I feel about back in those days. And then came the 60s. And then, you know, there was Hank Asbury, and there was all the kids, you know, deviating from their parents' way of life. But you know, back there in the 50s, you better toe the line, because you know, you didn't want to bring any condemnation on your family name or anything like that. So there, you know, there was a lot of that religiosity going on back then. But I saw it as, you know, a wonderful time of life. And now look at it. There was unimaginable technology. I mean, think about now. Those things that we thought were such wonderful technology and everything, and we've grown so far beyond that. And now that technology is invading our lives and overtaking our lives, and almost, you know, we can lose everything that we have by somebody stealing a few little letters and words and stealing everything that we've gotten. Everything's kind of gone haywire since then. We thought we had it all in control, the war to end all wars, and here comes peace and prosperity and blah, 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 blah. Everybody is wonderful. And you know what? It wasn't like that. It was us leaning on our own understanding. So when I got here to Romans, I thought we'd start around Romans 8:18 today. And that starts off by saying, I'm convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us, which is the right way to put that. And down here in the footnotes it said, the Greek word doxa, which is glory, can also be translated the radiant beauty. Think of that, the radiant beauty that's going to be unveiled in us, the splendor, the perfection, which is going to be unveiled in us. And it says the entire universe is now standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. And now, in eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation, as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed. For this is the hope of salvation. So,
you know, another scripture that goes along with that, because I have marked on here, because this scripture, Savannah's favorite scripture, she was in your class, and you had read it before, and she came and shared with me, and is in 2 Corinthians 4:16, that goes, it says, therefore, we do not become discouraged or utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear, though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. For our light, momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour, is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. So since we consider and look not to things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are visible are temporal, brief, and fleeting. But the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. And then it goes on talking about, though this tent be destroyed, how that we are at present abode in this body, that we sigh and groan to be clothed upon. Mm-hmm. It goes on into the fifth chapter. And
put on the full armor.
Yes, to put on, yeah. It said to be lifted, fitted out with our heavenly dwelling, which is Him. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, how did we get from there to here? To where, I mean, all of these things that we thought we had taken care of when we were living in a good time. And now look at us now. I see that it's all God's plan, and that's the very next thing. That up and down and up and down is to teach us the things that are truly eternal, mm-hmm. as opposed to those things which are temporal.
Yeah, and you're not going to look at that, look at those, but you see him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the one thing that's come out of all of that is this turning of the page that I'm feeling, that beginning to understand that day where the sons and daughters of God are going to be made manifest. Not that they're not there, but the lid is about to be taken off of. And that understanding that is becoming aware in us of who and what we are in God, that so far surpasses anything that's on this earth. Anybody got anything they want to throw in there?
Well, I was still thinking a little bit about verse 18, where it says, mm-hmm. In the King James it says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us," you know. But a lot of times, a lot of people don't understand that Scripture says that though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And sometimes, you know, we think as being Christians that we should never have to suffer, you know. And a lot of Christian folks will tell you, if they're going through some suffering, that it's the devil doing this to them, and it's this and it's that, and they're blaming something else, and everybody gets into the blame game, you know. It's always somebody else's fault. But you know what? I believe that the Lord lets us go through suffering so that we learn that he's there with us in the middle of the suffering. You know, the suffering, he could take the suffering away anytime he wants to in any situation or any circumstance. But a lot of times I believe that we learn more sometimes in the midst of suffering than we did if everything was just hunky-dory all the time, so to speak, you know. So, you know, I like that translation that you were reading, and it'd be good when you read that stuff if you tell what translation
that's
in.
Yeah,
because
that
way, yeah, because mm-hmm. that way, if somebody's listening out there on the internet, they might want to get that same Bible and read it, you know. And you were reading out of the Amplified, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, but you know that those that's the Passion is wonderful. The Amplified is wonderful because mm-hmm. it amplifies, and the Passion brings mm-hmm. out a lot of things that. A lot of the hidden meanings of the words, mm-hmm. which is very good. But I think sometimes people do, they downplay suffering, and you know, it would be wonderful if we were all walking in perfect health all the time and didn't have any pains or aches or problems or anything else. But I honestly believe if we walked in that kind of situation, you know, we wouldn't learn that God's there with us no matter what. You or me or somebody. Make sure it's not me.
Not me.
I knew it was one of us because it's right out front. We're both parked out here, right in front of the window.
You wouldn't see your knees. Yeah. I believe it was a hunky door and going smooth off. We wouldn't see our need of him.
Right.
And we wouldn't have a dependence on those things I have went through. Yeah. Even the loss of my son mm-hmm. has deepened my relationship
right.
with him.
Right.
Because it's things that you figure, how in the world am I going to go through to get through this?
Right.
And you're not wanting anything to really hinder your relationship with him. Because I know some people go through things and they turn away from God, not look to him and that.
Yeah.
But I think in the things that we suffer, that we, when we do turn to him and depend more upon him, mm-hmm. I've seen a greater work of him in changing things that he's done in me mm-hmm. through it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I think we misunderstand the reason for suffering. I think the most important reason for suffering is that we learn to wait on him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
God knows how to get our attention. Sometimes he's got to put you flat on your back so you can look up to know where your strength comes from.
Yes.
And then sometimes he's working on somebody else to work on you. And, you know, like, I don't know how to start to, the person that you're praying for, you're only praying for them because they bug you. And God knows that. I mean, we can't hide that. But God goes like this, well, I'm going to use them to teach you. And there's somebody, now I don't know if we got it in memory yet or we see it yet, but there's somebody probably in our lives that we don't want to listen to. And it could be me right now. But anyway, but that's a fact. But what we need to have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying, because the Spirit's always life. And you know when something's being said, this is no lie, whether it's life or death, whether it's for his glory or not, and you can are ready to judge that in order to set your spirit still free. The only way you're going to set that your spirit free is to judge it with mercy. We got to stay in mercy. I mean, there's certain things that we can't deny. We can't act like that didn't happen. Jesus Christ died that we, being the whole world, didn't he say that he died that none would perish? And I meant,
yes.
I mean, he's talking about not just dying, he's talking about none would perish without him. Because I like what David said, even if I make my bed in hell, he's going to be there with me. Jesus never fails. And remember, the word says that he never forsakes us. He never leaves us. So I don't know about you, but that's very comforting to me. We can go in places where we don't feel, and I just the other day experienced this, I didn't really feel comfortable in the situation. But the Lord told me, he said, but where's your comfort? He's my comfort. So it doesn't matter about the situation. I can find comfort in him no matter what the situation. But this is probably, without a doubt, my favorite scripture. I mean, I remember we was playing softball and John Brock said, okay, Clyde, what's your favorite scripture? And I said, Romans 8:18. He didn't have a clue about Romans 8:18. He thought I was going to say John 3:16. But I know what John 3:16 means. But I also know that Romans 8:18 talks about suffering that we will experience, that he has set in motion for us to experience, that it will not be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us, or to us, or however you want to say it. But the thing that we get to know is it's not an everlasting bad thing. The everlasting bad thing is the glory that's going to be revealed in us. That's the everlasting. That's for always. So, I mean, I have done that scripture up, down, around, and around,
that's
around.
What, that's
and I have taught that to kids. And like Parker knows, he said, I know your favorite scripture, Grandpa. And he'll quote it to me. I go, okay. But, you know, J.B. Phillips, if we'll go there, in my opinion, whatever we must have to suffer is less than nothing compared to what the magnificent future God has in store for us. Yes. Magnificent. I mean, you got to go a long way for a man to even think what's better than that.
Yeah.
And I can tell you in the Word, that's God's presence, man. My
well,
goodness.
Don't you think that it's all to bring us to the realization that we have mistaken identity, and that's what's going to change everything.
Well, I think that the more we pray that the Holy Spirit grab hold of us, mm-hmm. and we want to remain in it, we will be shaken by the Holy Spirit where nothing else will satisfy us. Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole thing is about even the mistaken identity that you're talking about. We have to come to the realization that I'm crucified with Christ.
Oh,
nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And the thing about it is that we have to realize that being crucified with Christ sometimes is a crucifixion of this fleshly nature. And of our attitudes, our desires in the natural, you know, sometimes that some of the things we want to hold on to, he wants us to let go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to read the Phillips just a little bit. I think Phillips is good in this. And I'm going to start with verse 14, and I'll just read down through it real quick. Mm-hmm. All who follow the leading of God's Spirit are His own sons. We are not meant to relapse into the old slavish attitude of fear. And fear, if people who think they're in suffering, they're in fear usually. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, what in the world's going to happen next? Oh, what am I going to do? How's this going to affect, you know, and all that. But anyway, you have been adopted into the very family circle of God, and you can say with a full heart, Father, my Father, the Spirit itself endures our inner conviction that we really are the children of God. Think what it means. If we are His children, we share His treasures, and all that Christ claims as His will belong to us as well. Yes, if we share His suffering, we shall certainly share His glory. Yes. Now, we have to share the suffering. We have to be willing to share the suffering. You say, well, what's the suffering? Go back into their day. They were persecuted. They were killed. They were thrown into prison. And we haven't experienced that in our day yet. We might before it's all over with. You never know. Mm-hmm. It's possible that we will. But, you know, the suffering we go through usually is more mental than anything else most of the time. You know, wrestling with God has given us a greater understanding of things, and you know, like even like Kathy's saying, the mistaken identity thing that God has revealed to us. Yeah, we have a mistaken identity. Well, anytime we identify with Adam, we have a mistaken identity because we were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And then in verse 18 it says, in my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now, this is what Clyde was saying, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future that God has planned for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sights of the sons of God coming into their own.
Yes.
Now this is really key here. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality. Not because it chooses to be blind, but because in God's purpose it has been so limited, yet has been given hope. And the hope is that at the end of all created life will be all created life, not some, not just the Christians, right, but all created life will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and has its share in the magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God.
Yes, Jesus.
I love that.
That is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Phillips is really good in Romans 8 chapter. It's excellent there. And the Passion from what you were reading for, it's really good too. Mm-hmm. I have some Passion translations. Yeah. It's good. It's very good. Mm-hmm. So is the Amplified. Amplified's good there.
You know, I just wonder, I got into it one time. I didn't get into it. I let him get into it, and I just, he said, you know, it's King James and King James only. I said, oh. I said, so you're willing to put the Holy Spirit in a box and say you can only come through to me through the King James. I said, well, I'm willing to allow that same Holy Spirit to expound on any word it wants because God created all the words to move me, to move you. Whatever helps you, I would never take it away from you. I mean, you know, I love the Amplified. I love the Living Bible. I mean, you know,
they're all good.
I mean, they're all good. But they're only as good as you hunger and thirst for Him in it. And as you hunger and thirst, you're fed. You're fed. I mean, you found, oh, you love it. Okay. But the thing is, everybody's not to the level. And plus, I'm kind of a duh. I'm kind of one of those guys that I got to have it about as simple as it can be. That's no lie. Until the Lord deals with you and you want Him to deal with you to show me the things I don't see. Oscar has said it many times, if I can quote you right. He would gladly trade the things he don't know for the things he does. Is that something right? Does that sound right?
I trade the things I do know for the things I don't know.
Right.
Just there's so much more that God has than what we think we know now.
I mean, and I've listened to so many people expound. They said, well, you can't add nothing to it. Well, I understand that. And then suddenly you can't take nothing away. And I understand that. But when the reality breaks forth, we're going to see things as they are.
That's right.
Right now, we don't see things as they are. And to be honest with you, we got kind of a clogged mind because our imagination accepts almost everything we see with these eyes. Well, a lot of times, God's not dealing with you with the temporary.
But he's wanting you to understand it's temporary. Okay? I once asked my brother, my older brother, nobody knew him, but my older brother, he believed in Jesus saving the soul. He was on a machine that was as big as that board right there, all the way to the floor. And he named him Hank. It was like an oxygen supplier. It was a big computer. I said, well, if you believe in that, I said, can't you believe him for the saving of this flesh here? He goes, I said, spirit, body, soul. I said, something's left out there. And you know what? He took that, and his pastor, who I knew real well, his pastor told me, do you know that when you gave him that word, he took that and called the people up to pack that up? He wasn't on it no more. But what he was on the mission that God intended for him. He was witnessing to people, talking about God's love. And he said he won so many people after he got rid of that machine. He said, this is what I'm here for. I'm here as long as God wants me to be here. I mean, it was, he said, you know, I can't, he said it might have been 100 people he won to the Lord, telling them about the love of God. He said, why? Because he refused to be stuck in that room, trapped in that machine. And he said, God will take care of me every day. He said, that was his testimony. He said, I was with him the night before he passed. He said, God's allowed me to live. He said, even though I won't be here tomorrow, I'll still be alive. Otherwise, the Spirit of God's alive in him. Yes. Now, you know, sometimes, the rubber meets the road or whatever. We're going to have to walk this out. And you don't think we'll have the opportunity to walk it out in times that we go, oh, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The Lord goes, but I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is, we still hear his voice telling us, I'm for you. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Nothing shall pluck you or them out of my hand because they're right here. Does God mean his word? I believe he does. Mm-hmm. I mean, we trust his word, right?
Mm-hmm. You know what Clyde said about the King James? One time years ago, I was teaching Sunday school, and this brother came in, and Carl came up to me, and he says, be careful, Brother Oscar. He says, this guy, he really tries to take over, and he really does this and does that, you know. And I said, Carl, I said, I'm not concerned about that guy. I said, this class doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jesus Christ. I said, I'm not concerned about him. He said, well, be careful. I just wanted to warn you. I said, okay. And, you know, I spoke mainly out of the King James, but I gave definitions of things that brought the King James into a lot more magnification than what it says right on the page, you know. Right. Never heard a peep out of that guy. Not one peep. Carl gets up to preach. The guy came two Sundays in a row. Second Sunday, Carl gets up to preach. He's preaching that Sunday morning. He starts talking. That guy gets up and starts coming against him. Big time. I mean, you know. And Jeff actually went by and kind of got the guy by the horn and let him out of the church because he was getting pretty hostile because Carl wasn't coming out of the King James Bible. But that scripture, the thing I feared the most, came upon me. You know what I mean? And God just emphasized that because he was afraid that guy was going to get out of line. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He got out of line with him. You know, I taught for two Sundays, gave multiple definitions of words that made the scripture much more than what was on the actual page. You know what I mean? Never heard a peep out of him. Not one time. But the minute he gets up and starts, and he goes to a different translation in the Bible, starts saying, that, well, I'm going to come out of this translation, you know, then that guy gets up and starts coming against him. So there's a lot of people. That the funny thing is and I remember this a long time ago, Brother Odell had a prophetic ministry, and y'all remember him. And Brother Odell said, you know, he said, I can go into a church, and he said a lot of times churches will have their creed or something hanging up on the wall there somewhere around it. Yeah, their mission statement, whatever it is, their creed or whatever. And he says, I can get up and I can say, well, number two up there, I, you know, and say something against that. And he said, they'll be wanting to ride me out of town on a rail, you know what I mean? They'll be wanting me to leave, they'll be getting all over me. He said, but I can get up under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and preach the Word of God, mm-hmm. and tear number two all to pieces without ever mentioning number two. Mm-hmm. And they'll sit out there and say, amen, brother, God bless you. And see, that's the difference, you know, is that if you're afraid of sharing the Word, you know what I mean, that fear is going to allow the thing to come against you. If you're not afraid of it, and you know God's in control, you can share whatever you want. And that's basically what he said. He said, I can go against almost every one of those creeds if I share it in the Holy Spirit out of the Word of God. And he said, and they'll sit out there and say, amen, God bless you, brother, and all, and not realize that their creed up there is just being torn all to pieces because it's just the creed of man. It's not the creed of God. You know what I mean? But that's really the way it goes with that stuff, you know. And just like Clive was saying with that brother, you know, that took away the thing that made him objectionable to other people. And a lot of times we have to be careful. And when I'm saying being careful, you don't want to give a steak to a baby. But what you can do is grind that steak up and give them some milk along with
it.
And they can eat that steak, mm-hmm. see? But if you throw that big old juicy steak up there on the plate and they ain't got no teeth, they can't eat that thing. Mm-hmm. And we gotta be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. And a lot of times people don't realize, even in this word that we share, you can share a deep word, but you can share, and we all need to pray. And I know God spoke to my heart years ago, and what he told me was, I'm gonna show you something you've never seen before. And I said, okay, Lord, what is it? And I kept asking him and kept asking him, and I've shared this many a time. And literally what he said to me when I finally went back the last time and said, Lord, what are you going to show me? He said, the simplicity that's in Christ. Mm-hmm. And until we get it down into the simplicity that's in Christ, they're not going to receive it out there. They're not going to receive it because it's just going to be heady, high-minded words. Until you get it down on a level where they can eat it, so to speak, you know. And remember when Jesus said to them, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. And what happened?
Hard saying.
They said, many of them went and walked with him no more.
Didn't understand.
Well, they didn't understand, see. But it wasn't meant for them to understand at that point. In our day, it's meant for people to understand. And until we start bringing forth the word in simplicity and clearly to where it's understandable, greatest compliment I ever got in preaching the word, greatest, best compliment I ever got. And I mean, I've had some pretty good compliments at times. I had a guy come up to me after we was down at the mission, and he said, I want to thank you. And I said, okay, brother, I appreciate that. What for? He said, I understood every word you said. He said, I come in here, they holler, they scream, they jump up and down, they do everything else. And he said, I walk out here and I think, I don't even know what they said. I said, well, brother, if you can't understand every word that I say, then I'm not doing my job right. And a lot of times when we get into heady stuff, we need to make sure that we break it down enough where the simple can understand it, you know. And I know sometimes you're called to minister to people on a higher level sometimes, and that's fine. But we're going to have to minister to all the creation out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're coming to that day where we're going to all be ministering to all creation out there. He's calling the people to step up into a realm to where they set creation free. The sons of God are going to set creation free. And it's going to have to, it can't be all that heady, high-minded stuff, you know, that's way out yonder that people that don't have teeth can't eat it. We gotta bring them up on a gradual level, you know. And that's why a lot of times people say, well, you know, why don't you always preach total reconciliation or always talk about this or always talk? I don't, because not everybody that hears this word coming out of this church out there is going to understand that. Mm-hmm. But if we gradually begin to teach them the sovereignty of God, teach them the base things and build them up to where they can receive it, then they'll be able to eat that steak, you know.
Oscar?
Yeah.
I was going to say, well, I think you are teaching total reconciliation every time you say, God's not there.
Yeah.
And you say that so much
right.
to people. And, yeah, that's part of the simplicity.
That's part of it, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that and when you tell people that every knee will bow, see, a lot of people out there talk about, you know, they talk about inclusion, everybody being included. Well, I don't like the word inclusion. What I like is everybody will be revealed the word of God, and they'll come to bend their knee and to confess with their tongue that Jesus is Lord, because that's what the word says. It doesn't say they'll all be included without doing anything, because they will have to do something. They'll come the same way you did, and the way I did. You had to confess him, you know, and until you come to that realization where you're confessing him, you know, it's going to happen out there eventually. I mean, you know, but we need to pray and ask God even help us to bring it in such a simple way that people can understand it. You know what I mean? And a lot of times, sometimes we get out there pretty far, you know, in some of the things we say. And there's nothing wrong with the depth. I mean, you know, what did Paul say when he said when he was with his certain brothers, he said he can share the deeper truths, you know. But when he's out there, he shares stuff on a little lesser level. So we need to not downplay the lesser level, you know, too much, because that's just as necessary as the upper level.
Or to ever say, you're in error.
Yeah.
Because you're not as far.
Right.
You know.
Well, a little kid, when they go to kindergarten, they teach them how to count to 10. Mm-hmm. And if you ask them, what did they learn in school today? They said, I learned math.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what they did? They learned math. Mm-hmm. They learned all there was to know about math, but they learned math. And you can't say, you can't go to one of them and say, oh, you're stupid because you don't know how to add and subtract or multiply and divide or do calculus or any of that stuff. Well, no, you do that and you'll lose them for sure. And sometimes that's what the headier word tends to do with people. It tends to make them feel less than.
Yes.
And we need to let them know that they're loved and they're going to be included in everything God's going to do. And they'll all come to that total revelation of the knowledge of him.
And that all goes back to give them life.
Right.
Don't give them judgment.
Right.
I'm right, you're wrong.
Right.
You know, that is just keep feeding, keep loving, keep changing diapers, do whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You're giving them life and acceptance and they'll come.
Right.
Kathy, I wanted to conclude by saying this. The guy that said that to me, I looked at him, the Lord will always give you a soft answer to turn away with wrath.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, I said, where does it lead us that we'll be all things to all men?
Mm-hmm.
I said, isn't that what that's about? I said, you know, somebody won't, you know, they'll accept it. Oh man, I said, they'll even, because Oscar and me talked about it, they'll even act like this is the first time they've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's maybe coming from Oscar and he said it 6 or 7 times, but somebody else will cut up there and they'll say it one time and they'll go, oh my goodness, that's the first time I ever heard that. And I'm going, but you know what? Give them ears to hear what the Spirit says.
Right.
I don't care if it takes a baby for them to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, God will use whoever God wants to use.
Well, you know what? I think that, I don't want to point anybody out, but I think that Oscar knows as much as anyone who has ever come in here, has gone as deep as anyone who has ever come in here. But I think he's very aware of who he's talking to. And I think he's willing to let other people come in and say things in a slightly different way. Not that it's new to him, but it might be new to other people.
Because the Lord
really holds him back, I believe.
What Oscar's aware of, he's aware that the word of God will not return void. And so he knows when he can speak it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows when he can give a curveball instead of a fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just being honest with you.
Slider.
And I go like this. I said, because our opportunity is we would see Jesus.
That's right.
I mean, in every man, we would see Jesus. We're looking for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they're out there, you know, whatever they're doing or whatever. We don't need a clear understanding about them.
Yes.
We're on a mission, and that mission is we would see Jesus.
Right.
He did it for me. He knew who he was talking to when I first came here. So he didn't just barrel out, you know, everything, scare me to death. He just, one day at a time, he just took it. And yeah. So, and I'm thankful for that.
I remember how many times he said to you, it'll come.
Yeah.
It'll come.
Yeah.
And look at you now.
Look at me now.
Same
thing. Well, you know, like I say, the thing about it is, like, you know, I believe when the sons of God are going to set creation free, and it's going to be an unveiling. But I tell you what, Jesus. The little children loved Jesus because Jesus, they would come and sit on his lap, you know, because he could. I love what Brother Eddie said, and I believe this is really the truth. He said, "Sons of God are they that can ascend and condescend of men of all states."
Yes.
And I'm gonna tell you, that's where it's at. If you can't come down on their level and talk to them. And you have to stay way up yonder somewhere all the time, you're not going to get them up there. Mm-hmm. You're not. Because they're going to stand back and think, what in the world is this guy saying? Where is he coming from? If you can't break it down onto a simple level and start gradually building it up to a higher level, then, you know.
When you do that, who is it that you're building up?
Look at me.
And I think you're not totally devoid of that, but I think that the Lord has shown you that.
Well, you know, the thing about I did hear somebody say one time, and this guy was a deep, very, very deep. I heard a guy say one time, "I could take you out to the far end of the pool and drown you." Well, you know, when he said that, I thought, oh, brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a great teacher, but I thought, whoa. That ego is flowing all over this room right now, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, that ego ain't going to get it. There's only one I am, and that's him. And we are a part of him, but that I am is all about him. It's about not about us, you know. And, you know, but don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a deep teaching. It's wonderful. I love it. I love to sit and listen to people when they're talking deep things. But we need to pray that God give us the childlike ability to talk to a child, a baby Christian. You know, I heard a guy say one time, I was in a meeting one time, and these people were talking pretty deep stuff. I heard a guy saying, well, I'm going to go down to Louisville at a church tonight. And he said, and I'm going to share the things that the Lord has shown me. And he said, and I'll never get invited back down there. And I was sitting there and I said, let me ask you a question, brother. Why would you say that? Well, I'm going to share some really deep stuff down there. And I said, well, brother, why don't you go in there and ask the Spirit to reveal to you basically where those people are and share a little higher than the level they're on, just a little bit, and let them invite you back. And then share a little higher the next time and let them invite you back. And build them up to where they can see what you're saying. I said, you want to go in and offend somebody? I said, you'll never win them offending them. They'll never have you. You don't want to go in and have them say, well, I'll never invite you back, you know. I mean, that's contrary to what you should be doing. You should try to, you know, minister to them on the level that they're on, take them a little bit higher, and then go from there. You know, but that's I love what Brother Eddie said, and when he said that, I thought, that's so true about sons of God, are they that can ascend and condescend to men of all states. And that's where we need to all pray that God takes us to, you know.
Isn't that what Jesus did when he taught in parable?
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He did.
You know, that Jesus talked in parables about the things that were at that time. It's no different than you talking about
the dog that, you know,
right.
You know, and me talking about my flower garden,
right.
You know, we
things you can relate to.
Yes,
people can relate
exactly.
to that. Sure,
and
sure.
that people around you can relate to.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, that's the thing is everything declares the Lord. Everything. I don't care what it is. The heavens declaring, everything declares Him. You know, and if we learn to just ask the Lord to help us bring it on the level, whatever's needed at that moment to whoever we're talking to, you know.
When Jesus was walking the earth, one of the things they had against Him was, look at this guy. He yeah. eats with publicans and tax collectors and
yeah,
all
right.
These guys. Well, do you think when Jesus was walking around having dinner with these guys, He was talking about the heavenlies?
Yeah.
He was talking about, you know, how's the tax collection going, boys? What, you know, he related to them on their level at all times. See, Jesus knew a lot about carpentry, and He knew about this and that, and he could relate to people
right.
as a human being on their level.
And what did He say to the fishermen? Come follow me and I'll do what?
Make you fishers of men.
You know, they understood fishing. They understood what it took to go fishing and how to catch fish. He was saying, come follow me and I'm going to teach you how to catch men. You know, but a lot of times, like I say, and I believe the Lord's going to do this with us more and more, because I think we're getting ready to move into a day that it's going to be so just amazing what God's going to do. I really do, because creation out there, they're groaning. Big time. And there's so much irritation and all this stuff. And you know what? It's going to take God to turn any of that around. It ain't going to take no politicians or no this or that or whatever. It's going to take the Holy Spirit moving through His body to ever turn things around out there.
You know, you were talking about fishers of men. When Tobias went with the group to the Dominican Republic, they took them out, you know, fishing. And it wasn't a time that you could really catch fish. And their group that went down there to minister caught fish. And
that's neat.
The minister did, but didn't he say the minister did, and so did he, they caught.
Yeah.
And brought them in, which was enough that they gave
out,
to.
It was out of season for catching the fish that they caught.
That yeah. they caught. And then they brought it back and of course you shared with them, and they were so amazed because they knew it was not, they shouldn't have been able, you know, to catch. I think Tobias caught, and this other minister caught a large one, and then we gave to them that they had for food.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people, of course, was amazed. They came to the, they knew that they had
probably still talking about that down there
the,
today.
Oh, they came to the service that they had that evening, and the one lady, Tobias' prayer partner, God had her come up, and she said, I didn't know what He wanted me to come forth for, but He told me. So she went forth to pray for this child. They got pictures of her, they brought her back. And the child, when the mother fearful to have her
yeah.
pray for her, because she, and she was obedient, and they prayed, and did they interpret for her as she, they interpreted for her. God touched that child. She hadn't walked, had she? She
no.
walked, spoke.
Yep.
God performed a miracle. When they were down there and did that, and it affected everyone. I mean, they had so many that came to the Lord, but seeing the, you know, the miracles mm-hmm. that God performed through them, and the love that they expressed to the people. You know, I was seeing when we're talking, it's not so much the ways and the means, when we talk about the different interpretations, you know, and that, but I see it so much us knowing God's voice and truly hearing Him as He speaks to us, and that it'll be also how He speaks through us, because He knows the individuals that we're going to be ministering to or talking to. God can give us exactly what to speak to them and to open that word up to them, as not so much we look at the interpretations, but the very spirit of Him.
Do
just him in us.
What's that song we used to sing? He speaks in the sound of his voice, the birds hush their singing.
Yes.
Now, what would cause the birds to hush their singing? The voice that created them.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, that's a hint. That's, we need to shut our mouths when we hear the voice of. That's right.
Yes.
You know, time that you can't control it, he goes like this, listen to me, and you'll go. You know, I mean, it's
yes.
just.
Amen.
So, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Right. Yeah.
That, and that was one little thing that jumped out at me in King James. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's Romans 8:28. In the Passion Bible, it says, this is 31. It says, so what does this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? And that kind of got me to look back to the King James. If God be for us, who can be against us? And that was one of those ifs, that the very use of that word if tells you the conclusion is true. If God be for us, and he is, who can be against us? And I looked this up. Tell me then, God, it says, if God has determined to stand with us. So I looked up this word in the King James, the word says, if God be for us. And that word for there, guess what it is? It's that hupo, which was kind of goes back to where in this, in the Passion Bible, it says, God has determined to stand with us. And not only, and that's that stand. Hupostasis, stand under, or stand, and that
right.
is, and that even had the implication of sitting quietly. If God is for us, we can sit quietly, and you know, in that knowledge that God is for us. So nobody, nothing is going to prosper against us. So, and you know, that really brought a good understanding to me of what that, if God is for us, that means God is standing right within us. He's standing right within us. He's in us. He's standing. He's got, if having done all, stand.
Yeah.
Just,
you know, that scripture in Hebrews where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance there is the word hupostasis, which means the to stand under. Or, and if you go in Hebrew, you read from right to left instead of left to right. So it would be to stand under or understand. This is what it would be. Faith is the understanding God or standing under him, you know. That's good. I mean, that's good. I like that word meant hupo.
Yeah, we've got before us, hupo.
Yeah, that's
we're
good.
We're saying and hear how he partners with
yeah.
us.
Right, that's
he
good.
Actually, God himself partners
in us, within us, and as us.
Yeah, that's good.
There's a note here, and it says, if God be for us, the form of the condition makes it clear that there is no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, that's good. Well, praise the Lord.
Who was it? Lee Helfenstein? Was coming out of church. I think he told that story. He was coming out of church, and he said two of the guys that he used to hang with, I think it was two.
Well, he used to fight against them.
Well, anyway, but he seen him over there, and they had already come. They said, we know where he's at. Let's go beat him up. I mean, this is him telling the story.
Yeah.
He said, they're across the street. He starts to walk over toward them because he wants to greet them. You know, he's different now. He wants to greet them. And they take off and run. And he said, well, next time I seen him, I said, hey, what happened? He said, well, when we seen all those people around you, we had to take off. He said, the only people around me was God.
Mm-hmm.
So they God allowed that to appear to them to send them around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, that's how God works, by the way.
God is for us.
When he met one of the guys that was there with him, he said that guy had got saved, you know, since then.
Yeah.
And I told him, I saw the big guys with you, and he said, you know, we don't want no part of that. But they had come up there to beat him up, you know. They wanted to see if, or they were going to fight with him to see if he really had already got saved. You know? That's funny.
They're testing me, Lord. They're testing me.
I loved Lee. Lee had, I think he had Jewish blood in him or something, because he talked, he had that kind of talk when he talked. Yeah, you know? Yeah. He had that kind of accent like a Jewish person. And I just used to love him. But he really tickled me. But he had a strong prophetic word, brother. That brother, the Lord really used him prophetically a lot.
He was an ex, just to help you, his background once, he was an ex-Marine.
Yeah.
Anyway, he played the trumpet.
Yeah.
And we were at camp one year, and I didn't know who did this, and he was playing, I don't know if it was taps or something, that late at night, and somebody ran by and hit his horn. It broke his horn. Well, he got up and told God, they broke my horn. And I think the Lord told him, you're my horn.
They dented my trumpet or something like that. Yeah. He said the Lord told him, that dented your trumpet, he said, you know, like it was the Lord's trumpet. Because he played it in church too. He was really good.
Yeah.
And he said the Lord told him, that's not my trumpet. You're my trumpet. And you know what? That's the truth. You're the trumpet of the Lord.
You know, when he spoke, you could hear the Holy Spirit speaking through him, and every once in a while, you could hear the Marine coming out of him. It's a lot.
Yeah. We was in a prayer meeting one night, and you know, when we sat out in the prayer meetings, we were in a prayer meeting one night, and he was praying, and he says, I got to make a phone call. And he went and made a phone call, and he said, and apparently, somebody in his household or something was getting one of his guns or something, and the Lord let him know that. And he told him, you know, you make sure they get that gun so that they don't get that gun. But apparently it was one of the kids or something. I don't know if it was a grandkid or what it was. But, the Lord let him know something was going on there. But I loved that brother. He was a great brother, you know. I seen his wife a couple of times. She came up to me and she said, you know, Brother Oscar, Lee used to talk about you a lot. Well, he gave me prophetic word when I was real young, you know, real young Christian. He gave me some pretty strong prophetic words different. And he said, he used to talk about you. God's doing great things in you. He should tell me all this kind of stuff.
Very cool.
He finally passed away. I think didn't he work on construction? I think he was construction work. He's a pretty good sized guy, you know, he's a big man, you know. But I love that brother. He was a good brother.
Still is.
Well, yeah, he is. So he's just a bigger brother now. He's with the Lord, more into the fullness of the thing, you know. Yeah.
Well, who wants to close in prayer today? I'm gonna wait for a volunteer.
Father, we so thank you for the words that is going forth, because it's you, Father.
Yes.
And we thank you for your presence within us, and Father, all around us. And Father, we ask, oh God, that you bless in the next service, be glorified. And we thank you for glorifying yourself within us and in this service. We just commit all things into your hands, oh God. Have your way. Be glorified. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So,